I just
so
don't
see. You can't have an opinion on your platform that is not pro a country that is not ours?
Hmm. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
There is an Overton window at the Daily Wire. Obviously, there was a non-meeting of the minds. That's pretty much all I can say on this.
Crazy. I wish.
So wait, is the Daily Wire an American media platform or is it an Israeli media platform? I'm just asking.
This guy's cooking.
But you can't criticize Israel as a country? That's just another country. Unless you're saying, and you're clearly admitting, that the Daily Wire is an arm of the Israeli, I guess, media or propaganda machine for? Wait, is that?
Oof.
Are you manipulating the right-wing conservatives in America and selling them country Western movies and putting on your little cow?
Wow. What's going on, folks? So Andrew Schultz, on one of the biggest comedy podcasts in the world, asked if Ben Shapiro is loyal to America or Israel, which is actually breaking one of the anti-Semitism speech laws. So, of course, we have to condemn his hatred for asking that question. But I'm going to play those clips because Andrew Schultz has one of the biggest podcasts in the world. They're usually not covering topics like this. And it seems like Daily Wire took such a huge misstep that even huge comedy podcasts are talking about how ridiculous and fake they are. And it's worth discussing. Since everybody's figuring this stuff out, we might as well keep riding with it. I'm passionate about it. I know a lot about it since I've been talking about it for 6 years. And Andrew makes some very interesting points that I think you guys are going to want to see. This video is going viral on Twitter. So that's what it's about today. And also after that, we're going to look at Ben Shapiro accusing others of blood libel, which is also one of the anti-Semitism speech laws. If you say that Israel did anything deliberately now, you're not just wrong, it's blood libel, which is being passed through American legislation as one of the anti-Semitism speech laws. It all connects. Hope you stay tuned and enjoy. God bless you guys. Dreamer podcast starts now. Give me a thumbs up in the comments if the sound audio is good.
It's the Dream Rare Podcast. Welcome to the show. The way to get the news at the desk or on the road. Let's go. God is great and success in our control. The world is crazy, but we get better from obstacles. Yeah.
What's going on Facebook? What's going on YouTube? What's going on Rumble? Appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for being here. And the saga just keeps getting more interesting, so I want to talk about it. From people accusing others of blood libel, that keeps happening more and more, to mainstream podcasts having these conversations. It's worth talking about. I mean, it's like one of the biggest stories in the world. And I saw this clip and was like, wow, I can't believe Andrew Schultz went there. Especially, I saw Andrew Schultz was really hard on Kanye early on. I'm not talking about after the Alex Jones interview. I'm talking about like way before. Andrew was one of the loudest people against what he was saying, which is fine. I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. It is what it is. But I guess I just have to say I didn't expect this out of him. I didn't know that he would say stuff like this, because what Andrew doesn't know is later in his podcast, they're talking about like, you know, there is anti-Semitism out there. It's like technically what you said is anti-Semitic, not according to me, but according to the speech laws that the American government is passing. Like, you're not allowed to say what Andrew Schultz just said because you're accusing Ben of having loyalty to another country, which is one of the laws. So it's important for people to learn these hate speech laws. But let's watch the clip. We'll talk about that later.
But he's basically like, there's a window of ideas we accept.
Yes.
And we accept ideas between this, I guess this is, if I get window, you're looking like this. So we accept ideas between here and here. And anything outside of that window, well, you're fireable. That's censorship.
So he must have seen the clip of Ben Shapiro talking about his Overton window. And everybody's noticing what a hypocrite that Ben is. It's not just because he runs a platform, but his whole career, he's been yelling at other platforms. Like when New York Times doesn't platform a conservative, he goes, You know, you should be doing that you're censoring them. Like, and then everybody figures out that he's the exact same way. But if you listen further, which I'm going to play the clips, Andrew explains what he's thinking.
But yeah. He's acting as if this is like a justified reason for firing people when you built your identity and platform off of no censorship and freedom of speech and facts don't care about your feelings and all this shit.
It's also funny that that window happens to end where his belief.
I like that guy at the end. He's like, it's funny that Overton window, it ends where your beliefs end, which is totally true, but it just keeps getting better or more hateful, depending how you see it. I don't know. I condemn the hate speech or whatever, even though what they're saying is hilarious. But anyway.
Isn't it
interesting?
You would say that.
Not being pro-Israel, that's where the window ends. That's also your specific personal belief.
What?
I just don't see.
You can't have an opinion on your platform that is not pro a country that is not ours?
Yeah.
So Andrew starts putting the pieces together. He's like, you can't have an opinion that goes too far on a country that's not our country. What he says next is breaking one of the anti-Semitism speech laws. But, you know, he's like, so who are you working for? Which, of course, is just bigotry and hate and discrimination. And I'm just joking. I mean, that's what they would say. But here's what Andrew says.
It's crazy. I wish.
So wait, is the Daily Wire an American media platform or is it an Israeli media platform? I'm just asking.
This guy's cooking.
If the rule is
that one guy goes, he's cooking, and he's like, I'm just saying, like, he's like, is it an American platform or an Israeli platform? If that's what your Overton window is. But what Andrew doesn't realize is he broke one of the anti-Semitism hate speech laws. You're not allowed to accuse any Jewish citizen in America of being more loyal to Israel. Even if Ben constantly tells you how loyal he is to Israel, it's still hate speech to say that. And Ben Shapiro seems to agree with the hate speech laws because he tweets them out on his Twitter sometimes, and he plays along to them, like the blood libel one, which we'll get into later. But, you know, Andrew's got some pretty big balls to say that. I never thought he would be the one to say it to his millions of followers, but it's got to be one of the biggest podcasts in the world outside of even politics, because it's not always super political. And he's out here questioning, like, which country is this media organization serving if that's your Overton window? Which, once again, is an interesting question to have, which is why he's saying it. And I don't know if they think that censorship and accusing everybody of blood libel, like, I don't know if they think that that's going to make people stop questioning these things, because it seems like the further Ben leans into insanity and the more exaggerations that happen, the more people want to talk about this stuff. So I think the Daily Wire strategy is backfiring tremendously, but we'll talk about that in a second. Let's keep watching the clips.
I'm just saying, if the rule is you cannot be critical, because he has no problem being very critical of America.
Yep.
Sure. Critical of the left in America. Left is half the country. That's you have no problem eviscerating half
of
the country.
That's the current power in party in power.
But you can't criticize Israel as a country. That's just...
So, you know, they're trying to figure it out. They're like, you have no problem criticizing this. Why is that your line? And he once again breaks one of the hate speech laws by being like, what is this media organization? You know, like, what purpose are you serving if that's it? And I'm not going to lie, he kind of goes in here. Like, I did not expect it from Andrew Schultz. I've not been a fan. I'm still not a fan, to be honest. But let's just say I didn't expect him to be saying this stuff, because he's kind of saying something similar, not exactly identical or anything, but I've always joked around how conservatives just wear cowboy hats and scam like their base. Like, Republicans are like, howdy, y'all. And then they like give money to the pharmaceutical industry. And he kind of hints that with Ben. He's like, are you just pretending to be a cowboy to scam a bunch of religious right wingers? And it's like, pretty much, yeah, that's what they've been doing for a long time. It's just everyone says I'm hateful when I say it, but let's listen to Andrew say it, and then we can all come together and say he's being hateful. I'm just kidding, but here's the clip.
Unless you're saying, and you're clearly admitting, that the Daily Wire is an arm of the Israeli, I guess, media or propaganda machine. Are you manipulating the religious right in America?
All right, I got to play the last clip, because he goes off. He's like, Ben, are you just pretending? Which, of course, this is hate speech. This is just unadulterated, pure anti-Semitism. It's not comedy at all. But let's listen to the clip.
Are you manipulating the right-wing conservatives in America and selling them country Western movies and putting on your little cowboy hat and fake moving to Nashville so that you could take all their money and then in the process restricting free speech, one of the core tenets of the American identity? Ben.
Oof.
Benjamin.
What is happening? There's trouble in paradise.
Sheesh. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The kid's cooking right there. He's like, are you just fake moving? And I'm not saying Ben really fake moved to Nashville. Maybe I don't care. I don't look into that stuff. But it's like, are you manipulating the religious right with these country movies just to lie to them? And it's like, yeah, that's totally what's happening. He mentions later in that podcast, I listened to like a 20-minute clip. It was really good, actually. He was mentioning that what makes Ben a hypocrite is the fact that when New York Times wouldn't publish certain right-wing conversations, Ben was attacking them, even though they're a platform and or they're a publisher, not a platform. Ben was still saying, like, why are you doing that? Allow these right-wing narratives to come out in New York Times. But New York Times said, we don't have to, we don't want to. So the point is, the hypocrisy is, if you're gonna pressure all these other media organizations and say, you should show the counter narrative to what you're saying. Ben's not allowing that. Also in this podcast, it was really interesting, actually. They were speculating that possibly the Daily Wire and Ben, Candace is like this unmovable force that she's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they were speculating, which I think can be very true. I'm not sure. But you have Ben Shapiro saying this stuff about the Israel war. You have Candace Owens bringing on people like Norman Finkelstein, who Ben Shapiro would never debate, who provides the counter perspective as a Jewish person who's supportive of Gaza. And it's like Candace was getting more popular than Ben. And also it's like, when you listen to Candace, listen to Ben, it's not to say Ben does nothing better than Candace. He is a talented guy, sort of, I guess, in certain topics. But if you listen to 20 episodes of Ben talk about this stuff and 20 episodes of Candace, you know, I think the Daily Wire audience was starting to lean towards Candace more because what she was saying seemed a little more honest and made a little more sense. And I think it's like a brand decision, you know, like we can't let the vibe of Daily Wire turn into this when the most important topic to us is this. We're just going to call it anti-Semitic if you say that that's our most important topic, even though it is our most important topic. You're not allowed to talk about it. And it's like, you know, it's like a combination of like, yeah, she crossed certain lines, but also she was making Ben look stupid, you know? So it's like, you can't have someone countering Ben's narrative and looking smarter and more reasonable, like just get rid of her. But then it's like you getting rid of her is no different than New York Times not platforming Josh Hawley or whoever that Ben was crying about when they wouldn't publish the thing. It's like, that's what they're doing. You know, the MSNBC doesn't want to hire Ronna Romney McDaniel because they got a bunch of psycho left-wingers following them who doesn't want a conservative. I'm not saying that's right, but it's like, Ben, like, what is your line? Just be honest about your line. Like, is your line Israel? I think it is. Is it Jewish stuff? Sure. If it is, just say it is. Don't say it's hate speech and anti-Semitic to suggest that that's happening. And I want to show you this real quick because one of the anti-Semitism speech laws says that you can't talk about traditional blood libel, which I wasn't even aware of what that is because it's not something that was ever brought to my attention in the first 30-something years of my life. But apparently, in the hate speech law that they're passing through government that's on the State Department website that Republicans, not just Democrats, but mostly Republicans, your sellout scammers putting on cowboy hats, lying to you, selling out your constitution, they're passing this one hate speech law that says like you can't do blood libel. Example is saying Jews killed Jesus. So it's like, why is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being mentioned as a hate speech law? Like you're not allowed to say it that way. You know, you're not allowed to read the Bible that way, or now it's hate speech. And it's like, I just find it odd that Ben Shapiro and other people just keep tweeting out blood libel, blood libel, blood libel. And they're suggesting, saying, if you say that Israel's purposely doing anything, that that's now blood libel. It's not just Candace Owens liking a tweet, which was blood libel. Now it's like you disagreeing with Israel or saying that their government could possibly deliberately do anything bad ever. You just have to say they're the greatest, most moral military ever, or else that's blood libel. Let me show you. So a chef who had 7 of his aid workers killed by Israel's airstrike said they were targeted deliberately. This guy just had 7 of his workers murdered, essentially. Ben Shapiro writes, World Central Kitchen does good work, but this is a blood libel, unsupportable by logic or evidence. Also, Andres has been accusing Israel of targeting civilians, blah, blah, blah. Crystal Ball said that they were targeting people purposely. And this guy, John Podhoretz, said, you need to stop blood libeling Jews, you repellent liar. So, you know, anybody who questions Israel on this topic is blood libeling them if you suggest they did it purposely. I'll show you another one real quick, and then I'll show you the hate speech laws that are being passed through government. He also called Chef Jose Andres, you know, cursing at him, saying disgusting blood libel for saying that Israel did it deliberately. And then if you look on the State Department website, Meghan McCain's husband said that, you know, Candace got fired for blood libel. He was saying that to Dave Smith. So this is just going around Twitter. Everyone, blood libel, blood libel. Okay, that's one of the speech laws, as I'm going to show. You see that right there. It says using the symbols associated with classic anti-Semitism, claims of Jews killing Jesus, or blood libel to characterize Israel. So it's like, you know, Candace got fired for crossing one of the hate speech laws. She liked a tweet. She didn't even say it. They're not saying that Candace did blood libel. I'm sure someone's saying that, but they're saying she liked a tweet of somebody doing blood libel. So that's like what the reason you got fired, says Meghan McCain's husband or whatever. And then you have people that are just saying like 7 aid workers died, right? I'm not an expert. I'm not in Gaza. I can't tell you exactly what happened. I'm not going to take a huge stance because I don't really know. But let's just put it this way. From all the research that I've done, it seems like Israel is apologizing. It seems like that aid truck was marked for aid truck. Like, they were doing everything right to show, like, we're just humanitarians, please don't kill us. And they still got killed. So it seems hard, and I don't want to commit blood libel so Ben Shapiro will smear me for the rest of my life, but it seems hard for me to believe that that was like a huge, huge mistake. It could have been, but I, you know, like, to suggest that it wasn't is now blood libel. I want to show a tweet from Cernovich because I thought it was actually pretty honest. And Jeremy Boring said that Cernovich is not anti-Semitic. He's one of the only people apparently that's not anti-Semitic. So you can read this without being accused by Daily Wire being anti-Semitic or whatever. But Cernovich said, there are people within Netanyahu's political faction who want Gazans to starve. You're an idiot if you don't know this, or you know it and you're lying, but that doesn't work anymore. You can't shut down debate with false accusations. Put on big boy pants and deal with reality. I'm not saying he was subtweeting Shapiro, but it sounds like he's talking about Shapiro and many others who are just saying that it's blood libel to suggest that they would ever do that. And here's my thing. I listen to everybody, the left, the right. I don't listen to people with masks on because I can't hear them. They're like, are you saying free Palestine? I can't hear you with the medical mask on. Like, if you can't protest without a medical mask, it's hard to hear you, so I don't listen to you. But, you know, everyone else, I'm hearing what they're saying if they're not wearing a medical mask on their face, and I could, like, make out the words. And listening to not everybody, because there's, you know, people on both sides that say stuff, but listening to a lot of these pro-Israel Zionists, like, it to me, it sounds like they're justifying, like, this is Hamas, that's Hamas, the kids are Hamas, the citizens are Hamas, they're all Hamas, you're Hamas if you disagree. And once they label you Hamas, they pretty much, in my opinion, label you for execution. It's like they want to kill Hamas, understandable. They want to kill the citizens and the kids who they think are pro-Hamas because of a 2004 election. Like, they've said that on television. Not everybody, but there are Zionists that have been on television that say, well, you know, if you don't want to be considered Hamas, you shouldn't have voted for them. It's like, if the election was like over 15 years ago and these kids are like 19, like, they're responsible. So on one hand, people like Ben Shapiro will say that it's blood libel to suggest that Israel's doing anything deliberately. On another hand, people like Ben Shapiro will constantly justify the killing of civilians, saying that they're helping Hamas, or they're near Hamas, or they're human shields for Hamas, or they voted for Hamas, or if you even go to Gaza and do anything for anybody in Gaza, you're Hamas. So it's not that hard to think that they might have just purposely killed those people, because it's like, if you go anywhere near those people, you're Hamas. They even call people in America Hamas. It's like, if you don't agree with Ben Shapiro, you're Hamas. So once they label you Hamas and you know that they want to kill Hamas, why is it that crazy to think that they would purposely do that when they don't like the people there and they have agendas to, you know, get rid of an organization that seems spread out and all over the place? So I'm not saying it was purposely done, but I mean, it's insane to call it blood libel when people suggest, but you know, in a weird way, I mean, this sucks that this is all happening. Obviously, it's sad and just like division and people arguing, like, it sucks. But it's like everything's coming to light. Like, people are showing you who they are. They're showing you that they either support the speech laws or they're regurgitating the speech laws. And it's becoming so obvious that even people that, like Andrew Schultz, that don't even, you know, weigh in on this stuff, like, he was calling Kanye West anti-Semitic 1,000 times. It's like, Andrew Schultz, call anybody who you want. Sure, call them anti-Semitic, but you're going to get called anti-Semitic eventually because you just broke one of the anti-Semitism speech laws. Technically, you know, they could say blood libel. They could say you're accusing Ben Shapiro of being loyal to Israel, and you're not allowed to say that Ben Shapiro is loyal to Israel, even though everything he does proves that he is, but you're not allowed to say it because Ben's a special boy with special privileges and special rules. Even though he's against the special rules, unless the special rules are for him, then all of a sudden that facts do care about feelings or whatever. Like, his whole shtick is a lie. And now that everyone's figured out he's a lie, people keep talking about it. And the more that people keep talking about it, the faker Ben becomes, the more he exaggerates. And it's like, I'm sure he wants, you know, to not allow people to say he's exaggerating, because of course that's hate speech. But it's like, dude, like, there's laws being passed in America that say that you're not allowed to blood libel, yet a lot of leaders in Jewish organizations and groups and, you know, leaders like Ben Shapiro, who obviously he's an American citizen, but he's also a well-respected Jewish leader. He's out here using words like blood libel to basically smear anybody who like says the opposite of what he wants to say. Like, am I allowed to say America did something purposely one time, or no, we have to just say America's moral and they've never done anything wrong and it's just hate speech? Like, it's so obvious. So it's so obvious that even Andrew Schultz is publicly questioning who Ben supports or who he works for on a podcast that's going to reach tens of millions of people. That's like 100 times bigger than mine. It's like, you know, are you just going to call everyone hateful all the time, or are you going to figure out why people are doing it? I'm going to read a few more things real quick. This is Dave Smith, very honorable person. He said, I was unaware of the scandal involving Candace Owens, like liking a tweet or a like gate, but I will call it. This is beyond grasping at the straws. Candace said, you have no idea when I truly speak out on everything I've endured, the entire world will be positively shocked. It is so far beyond the realm of sanity. I wonder what she's going to say or what happened. You know, I'm not sure, but it's like getting fired because of a tweet. You're doing blood libel because of a tweet. If you think the Israeli government ever did anything, meanwhile, there's people on television every day explaining like how connected Hamas is to certain people, but then you can't say that they said that. Like, it's all just getting so obvious. Like, in the last couple of months, tens of millions of people are like figuring this stuff out because it just couldn't possibly be more obvious. And it's like, it has nothing to do with hating this country or liking Hamas. It has nothing to do with that. It's just like the truth, basic common sense, the First Amendment in America. People that their entire life and their entire business model is a lie. They've always said facts don't care about your feelings. You know, even though you're a publisher, you should allow this. And they don't allow this. Their line is drawn. They've shown people what it was. And before I read some comments and go on to a few other stuff, I wanted to just bring this up because Cernovich tweeted this out too. I want to give him credit. And I didn't know the Hamas part of this. I knew the Israel part of it, but this is just interesting when you put it together. So I'll just show you guys. You know, I've known this, that Israel is arming the Muslims who are attacking the Christians in Armenia. Israel's arming them with drones and helping the Azerbaijan, you know, attack and kill and try to take over the land of Armenians. So why is Israel helping them? And also Hamas congratulated them when they took over and they're getting back Armenian land. Why is Israel arming the Muslims fighting the Christians? And why is Hamas celebrating the people that Israel's arming? I'm not saying they're working together. I'm just saying it's pretty wild. It's like you're arming Muslims attacking Armenians and trying to take their land, and then Hamas is celebrating the people that you're arming. It's all a little weird, but you won't hear about this in conservative media because, as Ben Shapiro is probably not purposely showing everybody, conservative media is not conservative media. Republican media is not Republican media. There's a reason I've been saying this for 5 years. I'm not petty. I'm not jealous. None of that. It's all fake. If your leaders say that they're capitalists, but they're really communists, you can't win a game because you're going to lose. Like when Trump prints all the money and helps the pharmaceutical industry, he didn't get tricked by Fauci. It wasn't the left. He's in on it. You know, it's just like Republicans are too dumb to figure it out or too fake to figure it out. So they never do. And they just constantly run in circles. It's like, once you figure this stuff out, I'm just going to be honest, Bobby Kennedy, Trump running for office, it's all just a clown show. Vote for who you think is the best, you know, like go to the ballot box and vote and use your freedom to, you know, elect the person. But like, if you're running circles around like podcasts that don't mention this stuff, it's really just like a capture for conservatives to just like be really entertained by WWE style nonsense that's never going to lead you to the promised land, because the people that you think are on your side constantly show you that they're not on your side, but you don't want to believe it. So, you know, this is why this topic's so interesting to me. It's getting more and more widespread. Candace opened a jar of conversation that was suppressed, shut down, silenced, and shut in a corner for 5 years. And this year, I want to say multiple Republicans, they're rapid fire just pushing these anti-Semitism speech laws into law. La, 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 la. Like, it's going all over the country this year. Ron DeSantis passes it for a third time just to let you know it's for sure. And let me break it down like this, and then I'm going to tell you what really happened, and then maybe people will understand that are a little slow to this topic. Guys, I just figured out that China... there's a politician that flew to China, right? They flew to, they're a governor of their state in America, and that governor flew to China to pass Chinese hate speech laws that make it pseudo illegal or hate speech to criticize the communist government of China or to criticize Chinese people in certain ways. And they flew to China to sign the bill, a hate speech law for the Chinese. For China. Isn't that crazy? Oh my gosh, you'd hear about that on Steve Bannon Reported, Dan Bongino, every single day of your life. But that exact situation happened, except Ron DeSantis flew to Israel to pass those speech laws. And you haven't heard a word about it on any of these shows. I wonder why. I wonder why nobody talks about it. I wonder why they cover it up. I wonder why it just never makes it to the conversation. China. Like what I just said about China has literally happened. Ron DeSantis flew to a foreign country and passed the first ever Florida bill on foreign country that limits your criticism of the country that he's signing the bill in. And nobody in conservative media talks about it. And the reason they don't talk about it is because everyone in conservative media knows you get Candace Owens if you talk about it. Michael Knowles might as well be a dog. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he's so funny. Yeah, for like a cert. It's like when I turn on, you know, the puppy contest and they jump through hoops. Yeah, it's real funny. You know what I'm saying? That's like his level of commentary. He knows he's like a dog on a leash. It's like the second that he says anything about anything that ever matters, he gets Candace Owens. So it's like, wow, did you hear that, guys? I'm the funny one at Daily White. It's like everybody sees this now and they're just getting ratioed on every social media because everybody's awake to what frauds they are and what phonies they are. So it's the same thing with all Republican media. It's like you don't think they know that Republicans are flying to foreign countries to pass hate speech laws for that country? They do know. They just don't care because that priority supersedes the Constitution. How are you going to save the Constitution when your side is actively selling it out and you guys don't realize it because you get mad at people who tell you? And then, you know, but it's all changing now and it has nothing to do with me. A lot of it has to do with Candace Owens. She's not the only one, but it's like she's so popular. She was getting more popular than Ben, or she already was more popular than Ben. She started talking about this stuff and Daily Wire was in a pickle because she's so popular. Do we allow her to keep talking about this and just make us look fake and stupid because we are fake and stupid? Or do we fire her or get rid of her or we come to a meeting of the minds and a parting of the ways? I don't know the way that maybe she left or whatever. Or do we have that happen? And then everyone knows we're phony. It's like she put them in such a pickle because they're going to look fake or stupid either way because they are fake or stupid. You know, it's all fake. So it's great that people are figuring this out. It's great that it's on a major podcast. And, you know, I would just say to Andrew, I know that they say that anti-Semitism's rising and it's getting so bad. Like I listen to the podcast, it's like it's rising because you're also being anti-Semitic and you're committing anti-Semitic hate speech, you know, crimes. I'm not saying they're going to arrest you for it, but you're breaking the law. One of the anti-Semitism hate speech offenses is you can't say that Daily Wire or Ben Shapiro has any loyalty to Israel. You have to just say they're loyal to America, or that's anti-Semitic. If you question Ben Shapiro's foreign policy, that's blood libel, which is one of the anti-Semitism speech laws. So do you think that Ben Shapiro's against the speech laws when he's tweeting out the speech laws and enforcing the speech laws and, you know, people at his company are citing, you know, blood libel as one of the reasons that where she crossed the line? Like it's all so obvious and it's like everyone's figuring this stuff out. I don't know what Ben and Jeremy are going to do. I guess just look fake or stupid or, you know, have Michael Knowles come out and do like a really dumb joke on Twitter when 100 people tell him what a sellout and a loser he is. And everybody, like, I don't see how this is really sustainable, but God bless him. And I'll read a few comments as of now. That's really the report I wanted to do on this. You know, Andrew Scholes, like, I don't really listen to his show that much. I was told, like, yo, check out this episode. I listened to it and I was like, dang, his analysis on this topic was really intelligent. Like he said, you know, he questioned like, what is your Overton window? What's your line? He talked about how Ben is a total hypocrite because he has told other publishers that they should publish other opinions, but he's not willing to really do that. And they admit that they're not willing to do that. And also he said that he thinks that the Candace Owens departure had more to do with Candace basically becoming bigger than Ben and making the Daily Wire brand about something that they don't want it to be. It's like, this is my opinion, but I think it's based in reality. The Daily Wire is obviously wildly pro-Israel. I believe, just like many others, that that's the most important tenet in their company. Without that, you know, so it's like, even if you're pro-America, pro-First Amendment, pro-Second Amendment, you're spot on with everything. You know, crossing that line is a line that, like, as a brand, they're not willing to cross. Why? Because it's really, really important to them, which is fine. It's like, just don't call everybody hate speech for saying that it is. And the second that you figure it out, they're just going to call you hateful and say you're hating, which is important not to be hateful and not to be angry because they're going to say you're angry anyway. So it's best to just be calm, honest, reasonable, and loving and just show love because it's not about hatred and it's not about any of that. It's just the truth. Like, you can't pass speech laws against the Constitution and expect people in America to like it. You can't. How long are people going to play this game in conservative politics? It's all getting revealed now. It's such a wild year for me because I just feel like everybody's basically just showing who they are. Because the truth is, like, listen, everybody messes up. Everybody's flawed. Everybody sins. This isn't like a microscope on everyone and be like, oh, you made a mistake 15 years. Like, everybody makes mistakes. But if you're trying to tell the truth, it's easy. You could talk and be like, yeah, this is who I am. I'm just telling the truth. If you're living a lie, eventually you can't suppress yourself anymore. And that's what this year feels like to me. So many quote unquote conservatives that are really liberal feminists or their loyalties lie elsewhere, they're not able to disguise themselves anymore and pretend that they are who they pretended to be for a while. So they're just telling you who they really are. And people don't like it. They're like, wow, you seem like a feminist. You seem super liberal. You seem super fake. And it's like, they've probably been that way forever, but they just got annoyed at like having to suppress themselves and pretend. And like at a certain point, you know, like who you really are comes out. Where I'm not asking for perfection, but a lot of people, like, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons about Republican media, and I'm not thrilled with a lot of the guys in it either, but there's a lot of women that are basically just like feminists, and it is what it is. I don't really care. God bless, like, women and men are different biologically, whatever, but like a lot of Republican women, they're not conservative. They're just like feminist liberals who like the aesthetic of cowboy hats and country. And, you know, the left is so crazy, so it's like it's hard to hang out with them. It's just more fun to hang out with Republicans now. It wasn't always that way. Liberals used to be cooler, but now it's like Republicans are way cooler. So like a lot of liberal feminists, they just say MAGA or whatever, and now, like, you know who they really are is coming out, and everyone's like, dang, I didn't see that coming. And it's like, yeah, I don't, you know, there's a lot of feminists in the movement. There's a lot of liberals in the movement. I'm not talking traditional liberals. I'm just talking about people who don't really believe what they say. They're just like going from CNN to here. You know, that's my opinion about Cuomo. He sounds so reasonable now. He had no job. He lost his credibility with mainstream media. If PBD didn't rescue his career, he has no career. Nobody wants to hire him. He wasn't overly impressive on the media anyway, even with that backing. And, you know, the lies are not popular anymore. I think the truth is more popular. So podcasts like Joe Rogan makes more money than anyone on television. Tucker Carlson left Fox News and he made more than he probably ever made at Fox. So it's like the scammers and the opportunists and the grifters are like, there's no more money. All the mainstream money's drying up. Never mind. Sorry. I saw like a mosquito. I was like, I'm not trying to get bit right here. Could be one of them Bill Gates mosquitoes. But anyway, I think a lot of people who are opportunists are like, oh, the opportunity is now in the podcast world. So, you know, now people are going to fall for Cuomo. Oh, he's moderate and reasonable, because there was no more money to be made not being reasonable. These people are hated. Nobody likes mainstream media propagandists. There's no money to be made there. They just get laughed out of every room they're in. They're embarrassed. Half of them are probably have like alcohol problems because they hate themselves because they know that they're shills. Yeah, let me just pretend to be reasonable for a couple mil or whatever. It's like these people are not authentic. So I think there's a lot of people in conservative media as well with ulterior motives, where it's like, you know, for a while you thought that they cared about the First Amendment, but over time you realize that there's certain countries and policies and racial ideologies that supersede their love of the First Amendment. Me, you know, I really mean what I say. It's like, I do think that in this world, you can't pass hate speech laws. And I'll just break down it for those who don't know already, why hate speech laws are a bad idea. Who gets to decide? If we had moral government and moral leaders and everyone was so honest, then it's like, yeah, we can figure out what's too hateful and ban it. Like, okay, but we don't live in that world. What are they banning as hate speech? Criticism of the pharmaceutical industry. Why? Is it because of science? No, because the pharmaceutical industry is making a fortune. Guys, look in the mirror or look around the country. Kids are dying of opioids and fentanyl. Everybody's fat. People are depressed. You know, a lot of these diseases are on the rise. We're not healthier. Something's going on. We've been overrun by people who hate us and pharmaceutical scams, in my opinion. So it's like, you know, is it really hate speech to criticize big pharma? No, there's a multi-billion, possibly trillion-dollar industry of that money. So they just say it's hateful to criticize them. You know, BLM says it's racist to criticize them. Homosexual culture says it's, you know, hate speech or homophobia to criticize what they're doing. And it's like they're not just being gay in their bedrooms anymore. It's like they're trying to bring it into elementary school. So now parents have an opinion. Nobody even really cared 15 years ago. Obviously, people had their opinions, but once you bring it to like an elementary school, now 20 million more people care, you know? And there's a lot of conservatives that are like, yeah, that is messed up. Like, I was with it then, but not then. So it's like, that's where all of the controversy comes from now. It's not just homosexuality in its normal form. And I'm not saying nobody disagrees with that, but it's like the big hoopla now is the children stuff. It's like the weird parades with your dick out. Like, you know, that's the part that people are really offended by. So are we going to address that? No, the left just calls it homophobic and they say it's hate speech. And it's the same thing with anti-Semitism. If you disagree with the country that Ben loves, he calls it anti-Semitic. If you say he loves that country, he calls it anti-Semitic. So you want to pass these into speech laws? The truth is, yeah, there's some nasty people out there, but a lot of people hate the truth. You know what I'm saying? A lot of, like, especially in nowadays, I can't speak forever because it's not like the world was ever perfect, but I would say most people are offended by the truth now, like whether it's political, physical, like, you know, the truth bothers everybody. It's like, just look at the modeling industry. And I'm not saying it was ever perfect because the model industry is screwed up. I think it's been crazy for a long time. They get chicks that are way too skinny and like hurting themselves to be that skinny. I wasn't cool with that. But it's like now it's like, look at this 5,000 pound model. It's like, okay, you know, like let's look at this midget basketball player and pretend like he's better than Michael Jordan. But he's not though. You know, he's 3 foot tall and he's not as good as Michael Jordan. But should we pretend like he's better? It is what it is, but it's like, you know, like people don't, like everything's upside down and like nobody, like the truth is so offensive and it's like too much. So you can't have hate speech laws. Like it's that simple. But once you realize the Republican Party isn't who they told you they were, it's tough for people to handle. But that's the only thing that's going to fix anything. That's why I keep covering it, because there's actually, for the first time in a long time, progress being made. And I want to say this too, before I look at the comments, people like Donald Trump, vote for him if you think he's the best candidate, but stop with the circusry, idol worship, running circles around the guy, okay? Because Donald Trump is a businessman. He's got billionaire donors. He's got every industry. He's in Saudi Arabia talking to people. He's talking to people in Israel. The dude's plugged in, right? Trump knows every powerful person in the world. You and his audience, you're not really shit to him. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he doesn't like you. He loves the attention and the balls and the galas, but you have to use that to your advantage. If he sells out the Constitution, there's probably a reason that Trump's doing it. I'm not saying he's the worst person in the world, but in my view, they'll say this is hate speech to say, but he's probably getting paid by mega donors who give the GOP hundreds of millions of dollars. And it seems like that seems to be one of the tenets that they're all doing. So I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, that there's a lot of lobbying money to be had for certain topics. You know, the only way it's going to stop is if you tell Donald Trump to stop. If you just dance and sing along with everything he does, he doesn't respect you, because he shouldn't respect you, because you don't even respect yourself, your family, your country, and your constitution over your worship of him. So you're just a fan. So you're just a stan. So you're just a, you know, what are those things called at malls that just sit there and you put the clothes on them? I forget the name of them, but mannequin. You're just a mannequin. You're just an NPC to him. So it's not to say to hate him or not vote for him, but use your leverage as an American citizen and as a patriot to not just drool. That's why QAnon is the ultimate psyop. Instead of addressing all of the pharmaceutical scams and the selling out of the Constitution, you just drool like your IQ is 7, you know, not 77. Like, Donald Trump is the best and has a secret plan. It's the ultimate psyop. It's like, suck the power out of patriots and just turn them into mannequins and NPCs. And it's like, we're beating the deep state. No, you're not beating anybody. You're probably beating your meat to the thought of Donald Trump looking at you. You're like, he looked at me. I had a Q shirt on at the rally. Cool, bro. What are you, 45? Like, grow up. But in general, it's like, it's the ultimate psyop, because it sucks the power out of the Trump movement and turns them into a bunch of stans, fans, mannequins, and, you know, washed up NPC dingbats, dumbbells, dumb bars, whatever, just dummies. I just thought of funny words. But anyway, you know, he's doing a lot of stuff. And to his credit, it might be fun if you're like super into that stuff, but it's probably not fun to deal with all the stress Trump's dealing with. So he probably gives in to lobbyists in certain countries sometimes, because it's just easier to do that. And he knows his audience is too weak or stupid to figure it out. So once you figure it out, that's the patriot leverage, not doing Operation Bolshevik Trust the Plan, man. You know, just copy and paste counterintelligence Bolshevik scams from the 1900s, which is what QAnon is, whether it meant to be or not originally. It's like, your power comes from being like, wait, did Donald Trump just pass a hate speech law? I'm against that. If you did that, he wouldn't do it. He can do it because no one notices. Did Ron DeSantis just fly to a foreign country to pass a hate speech law? He absolutely did. And Dan Bongino and Steve Bannon and all these people, God bless them, they do other good work. They seem to mysteriously just not care about this. Ben Shapiro's tweeting the laws. Michael Knowles is saying really unfunny jokes that no wonder Jeremy Boring puts millions of dollars into his host, because if he didn't, no one would give a crap about him. You know, you're spending like, yeah, you better boost up Andrew Klavan's post because nobody was going to care about him if you don't. You know, like, he's not saying anything funny or interesting or revolutionary. So it's like, is this random that nobody wants to talk about the hate speech laws? No, and this is how they control patriots. Give these dummies QAnon and give all the MAGA mystery MAGA moms like these phony, washed up loser men who will just pathologically lie to you with like fake experts all day, and all the MAGA moms are watching it. All right, that'll make 10 million, you know, Q-tards turn their brains into shit. And then you give them like, you know, these other things. And like now, like 100 million Trump supporters, God bless them, they don't know anything because they're listening to this content. And I'm telling people behind the scenes that there's an active game going on. Candace just got so big that everybody saw it. This has been going on for 5 years. Don't hire them if they talk about the hate speech laws. Don't put them on your show. Smear them as an anti-Semite. Just like if you watch the G. Edward Griffin video from 60 years ago, he talked about this same strategy. He said that communists were smearing people as fascists and anti-Semites 70 years ago because those labels had bad taste in people's mouth. So if you smear somebody enough as that, they lose credibility. And once they lose credibility, nobody wants to work with them or hire them. So the strategy has been going for like 100 years now. And, you know, I know it's tough for people to think that Republican media might possibly be in on it, but that's what's happening. So I'm glad people are waking up to that. You know, I do want to read comments and stuff, but at the same time, I feel like since a lot of my videos are really long, I feel like it would be a good time to end this video. I think it was clean. I said what I meant. I said what I wanted to say. Reading comments, I'm always grateful and appreciative that people are here. But, you know, I do a lot of long content. Let's keep this one pretty short and under 45 minutes. I appreciate you guys. God bless you. Just to wrap it up, I would say this. You know, as far as calling everything blood libel, I don't know what Ben's true intentions are, but it's watering down the word. It's watering down the claims of anti-Semitism, and it's actually counterproductive. It's making millions of people not trust you anymore and not believe you. So this is just my, you know, unsolicited advice, because I, you know, I want to see people popular and happy and whatever. It's like self-awareness and self-accountability goes a long way. We all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Everybody has a moment where they mess up or say something wrong on Twitter and people get mad at them. Like, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, it's like constantly playing the victim and smearing everybody doesn't make people like you. So I'd like, you know, everyone always talks about all these things. Like, how come they never talk about self-accountability and self-awareness? Like, is it anything that you said or did, or no? It's just everybody else all the time. It's like, dude, you're like, stop lying so much. Stop exaggerating so much. In order to get people to like you again, you can't just support hate speech laws that say that you can't say that you're doing it. Like, that's so manipulative and so like ridiculous. You know, it's like, should I stop doing what I'm doing, or should I pass a hate speech law to say that I'm not doing it and then get mad when everybody, like, it's like, that's a short-term solution. Like, it's not going to work. And I'm not saying that people like Ben Shapiro are specifically doing that. Like, I'm not saying Ben is doing it, but I know it's been 5 years that Republican politicians have been doing it. If you say that donors are paying Republican politicians, they write articles about you in Republican media and call you anti-Semitic, and then these speech laws get passed by every Republican, and then no Republican commentary will talk about it. I'm not saying everybody's directly working together, because I don't think that that's true. But it's like, it's just getting weird and deflecting and saying that everyone's just getting so hateful out of nowhere. It's a narrative that no one really believes anymore. And it's like, the more you ignore that, the more people are going to not like it. And I want to say this too, because I know on Twitter, like, this is my personal experience. I went on a cruise. I turned off Twitter for a week. I had a great time. The first thing I saw when I logged into Twitter was like, F you. Yeah, I'm not saying it's right, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of cool people on Twitter. There's a lot of not cool people. And it's like, you know, just because someone said F you and that's the first thing I saw, it's like, that's social media sometimes. It's not great. I wish it was better, but like, I don't sit and see that and think like, oh, everybody that does this hates me. And there's not, like, you know, it's like, if you're getting ratioed on all your posts, are some people going to be dicks? Absolutely. But does that mean you should have no self-awareness to think about what you're doing? Or just be like, oh no, 99% of people disagree with me now because they're bad and they need to be called bad people. And when they disagree with my foreign policy, I'm going to accuse them of one of the hate speech laws. And I'm going to accuse Candace Owens of that because she liked a tweet on Twitter. I mean, this is getting into category of the one guy in NASCAR. He liked the George Floyd joke meme and he got in trouble for NASCAR. You know, we talk about the left, regardless of what you think of George Floyd or a joke about George Floyd, if you think it's bad or good or racist or insensitive, I don't believe you should be fired for liking a thing on social media. Not just saying it, liking it. I know I've already been blacklisted for getting retweeted by somebody that I didn't even know. I know that now they're saying that one of Candace's main offenses was liking a tweet. I'm just going to say this not as a cop-out because sometimes I like things I like. Sometimes I like tweets I don't agree with if it's a video because I want to find it later. And when I like it, then I could find it. If I don't like it, I don't know where to find it. So it's like, you know, a like is not necessarily a cosign. So a lot of times it is. But like, dude, imagine if I got in trouble for liking a tweet and I'm like, yo, I wanted to save the video to use it. Even with Andrew Schultz, it's like, dude, was I offended by anything he said in that clip? Absolutely not. But I listened to the whole podcast and yeah, I don't agree with him on everything he says. And my analysis is not to sit and say he's awesome. To be honest, I don't even like him that much. And, you know, maybe that'll change and he'll grow on me. As of now, his comedy's funny, but I'm not necessarily a huge fan. It's like, is this the country we want to live in? People getting fired for liking jokes and tweets. And, you know, and this is just proving that it's not just the left wing. That's why the right wing talks about the left wing all the time. Is because if they just talk about the left wing all the time, you think that only the left wing is doing that. And people like Trump and Shapiro are going to ride in on a horse to save you, which is not really the case. God bless you guys. I know people in a week ago or so were talking to me about this red heifer story. I looked more into it because they're bringing red heifers to Israel. And this is like an ancient thing that has happened. I think they sacrificed one like thousands of years ago or something. And it's really interesting. To be honest, I'm not a big CBS fan for obvious reasons, but if you look on YouTube, CBS did an excellent 6-minute report on the red heifers in Israel and what like, you know, Hamas connection, why they were mad or like, it's not me. Don't blame me. It's CBS. But like they did a really interesting 6-minute report on it where they kind of like summed up what's going on or what they think might be going on. And I was blown away that CBS actually did that. You know, that was pretty impressive of a report, not usually impressed by mainstream media, but yeah, I might cover that later this week. And I'm not going to exaggerate or lie or say anything I don't know. I'm just going to cover it accurately and, you know, talk about what I'm seeing. And I'm not here to blame or make up things that I don't know, but it is a huge part of it because I do want to end on this note. There's a lot of religious and racial context to what's going on. Israel is a country, not all, but of mostly Jewish people. And Judaism, for some people, it's a religion. For others, they're Jewish ethnically, and they're not religiously Jewish. And you can get to Israel without being technically religious. It's a religion heavily based on the race of being Jewish. Okay, I'm not mad at it. I'm just talking. There's some temple on a hill that's owned by Muslims now. Not all, but there are factions of Israel that want to convert that into, I believe, possibly a synagogue or some sort of temple that they want, not Muslims. So, you know, if you don't understand the religious backdrop of this, it's not like so many times people say, like, I don't care about race or religion, which is totally fine. I'm not telling people like you have to care about your race. You don't. But just because you don't doesn't mean other people don't. So if you're walking through the world thinking everyone thinks like you, you're going to be sadly mistaken because a lot of this has to do with race, religion, and competing factions and also weird collaborations. Like when it comes to funding the Muslims who are going after the Christians in Armenia, you have Israel funding those Muslims and Hamas celebrating their victories. It's a little weird. When it comes to Zionism, it's not just Jewish. And also, honestly, there's a lot of Jewish people against Zionism. Of course, they're called anti-Semites, but a lot of left-wing progressive Jewish people, they don't feel a connection to Israel and they feel like it's racist or whatever. And, you know, they're mad at with the Palestine. So there's that angle to it. But also there's a lot of Zionist Christians and Catholics that are working with Jewish people in Israel to try to rebuild this temple because in the Bible, I believe, you know, it says that it could be the Antichrist and then Jesus will come, and they think it's going to be the Mashiach. So it's like there's a lot of alliances going on religiously, racially, that a lot of people don't think or talk about because it's just like, oh, I don't think that way. It's like, but that's a huge portion of what's going on with this Israel war. Not to mention the claim of the land. It's like Palestine's like, no, this is my land. And Israel says, no, we've had it for thousands of years. So a lot of this conflict, it is, I'm not saying nothing escalated or started, but it's like there's thousands of years baked into it. So it's interesting to learn about, because even when I hear like anti-Semitism and I'm listening of like what people think of anti-Semitism that are Jewish and are like really hurt by it, they constantly bring it back to 2000 years ago. Like they're not like, oh, anti-Semitism happened 100 years ago or 200 years ago, or it started 400 years ago. It's like, no, it started at the time of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That's when it started. You had all these Christians trying to convert us and tell us we had to be this way. That's why a lot of Jewish people take Christ as king so offensively. To a Christian, Christ as king is a praise. But if you say it to a Jewish person, they're offended because it's reminding them of like Jesus anti-Semitic times or whatever, you know, where, you know, Christians are like, you got to convert. That's how they view Christ as king. It's like you telling them that they're not right and you're right. And that's why it bothers them so much. Like to most people, they're like, I don't really care about that. That's just whatever. But like, you know, to certain people, it's like 2000 years of like, oh, that's going to happen again. Or, oh, they're trying to make me them and I don't want to be them. It's interesting stuff at the bare minimum. I definitely think it's fascinating and worth talking about. God bless everybody. You know, as Donald Trump says, I mean, we don't have the same foreign policy, but, you know, he says he would love to see peace soon there. Yeah, I don't know what he means by that or how, but that's obviously my goal in Ukraine and Russia. And just to wrap it up again, apparently Anthony Blinken, or Abe Lincoln, I like to call him, because Abe Lincoln, ha ha ha, so funny. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, Abe Lincoln, Anthony Blinken. Sorry, it's like I said that so many times. I should just end the show. But, you know, not jokes aside, apparently they're trying to bring Ukraine into NATO, which is like something that America never would have thought of years ago. Like that, it's like crazy. But now it just seems like certain people want war. And I'm not trying to see all this stuff go down. I would love to see peace, and I don't want to see people get hurt and all that terrible stuff. But I don't know. The people running the world do not seem to be on the same page with that. It seems like they have a certain agenda that they want to move forward with, and they don't really care what I think or what you think. And, you know, that's why Trump is the most interesting candidate. Like, what is Biden going to do? He's mad. He says, oh, I don't like what Israel's doing. So you say, but you're not doing anything. So it's like, they don't care. They don't respect Joe Biden. With Trump, he could do this. He could do that. He's an anomaly. It's like, what's he going to do? Is he going to stop the war? Is he going to be a traitor again? Is he going to sell vaccines? Is he going to make peace? Like, you never know. I think, like, at least for me, since I'm done trusting these people, it's not that I necessarily like really want Trump to win. I think he'd maybe fix the border wall, which appeals to me. But I don't know. Like, he's just like a more interesting character. Like, what's Joe Biden going to do? Like, shit his pants and forget where he is? Like, I've already seen that story. It's boring. Trump, he could do the right thing. He could do the wrong thing. He could be like, he could become himself and crush, or he could be the biggest like scammer in modern history. It's just, you know, entertainment wise, it's a more interesting outcome. So I think he'll probably win for that reason, but who knows? Let me know what you think in the comments. God bless you. I'll read more. I'll do a lot longer live stream later. I want to keep this one shorter than long. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for being here. Check out my links. Hey, what's going on, my friends? Just a few ways to stay in touch and support if you'd like to. The first way is dreamrare.com. We have blue beanies, black beanies, pink hats, other colored hats, freedom versus tyranny shirts, stay blessed long sleeve, God is great long sleeve, and lots of more cool items coming soon. Dreamrare.com. Check out the shop to support. Everything's made in the United States. Handpicked by me. Patreon.com/raretalk for $5 a month. You can help support me. Support the show. If you haven't noticed, unlike other channels, I don't work with very many sponsors, sometimes none at all. And part of the way I'm able to do that is with the dreamrare.com shop and patreon.com/raretalk. So thank you guys for keeping the show free, unimpeded, uninterrupted. I'm forever grateful. My free email list is stayintouchwithme.com. So check the links below in the description, or just type in on any browser, stayintouchwithme.com, all one word. You'll find my email list, put it in there, and it's the least annoying email list you'll ever be on. I barely use it because I don't like getting emailed every day or every week. It's annoying. So I don't do it. Stayintouchwithme.com. It helps me take back some power away from big tech. Telegram, T